Dr. Marta Carolina. I am a pediatrician in Round Rock, Texas, near the city of Austin. And I'm here again with my friends, my two friends, Fair and Veronica. We're going to talk about very, very, very interesting things today, I have to tell you. Ready for the summer, ready or not, a lot of people are going out, they are getting in contact with nature, and we are having the typical mosquito bites, jellyfish contact. So we're going to talk about all that, and we're going to learn, of course, a very special recipe from Fair. Fair, Veronica, how are you ladies? How are you
good.
Doing?
How are you, Marta? Yes, and for Candil, I'm a chef in a catering from Spain, paellas, tapas, and more. And I'm here very close to Marta in Round Rock, Austin, Texas. But today I'm at the beach because I think the COVID-19 is not going to stop anyone who wants to take a few baths in the sea. And it's, to me, it's like a medicine, you know? It's when I refill all my strength to be ready for the winter, for the rest of the year, and I think it's perfect. But today we are going to talk about many issues happen during the summer, and I'm glad we have here Veronica. I think Veronica went to the beach too last week. So hi, Veronica, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. Hi, Marta. Hi, Fer. Fer, I'm so glad you got to have a break. It's really nice, as you say, like, to get away and refill and get back all your energy. Luckily, we had also the chance to go to North Padre Island and Port Aransas, which is the coast of Texas. And we were there for 3 or 4 days. We really enjoyed it. It's fun. Kids just love the beach. So the thing is that when we got there, my oldest, Alvaro, he got in the water, and 5 minutes later he came out screaming and saying that his forearm was like burning. And I just kept a close look, and we saw that he was getting a reaction. He was getting kind of a rash, and it was becoming red, and he had all these like little lumps. And I Googled it, and that's when I realized that it's jellyfish season. So I wasn't expecting this, really. It was totally unexpected. I didn't really know how to react. I've never been stung by a jellyfish. My kids have been stung like 7 times during the whole weekend in total. Alvaro 4 times and Violeta 3. So Marta, if I had talked to you before about this, I would have known what to do. But now, I just have to get ready for the next time. What should I do if my kids get stung by jellyfish?
All right, well, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to be ready, and it's going to be so easy. But yes, I have to say that keeping social distancing here in our coast is very easy. These ladies can tell you, because the beach is kilometers upon kilometers and miles upon miles. And so it's very easy to just be away from people. So it's safe, I will say, to go to the beach if you wear your mask, not on the beach, but you know, when you go to the store and other social situations. So let me go back to your question. I think the main thing that I wanna teach you girls and everybody is, if you can learn this, then I think you learn it all, is that there are two types of allergic reaction. You have a local reaction, which by its name is the contact of the insect or the jellyfish with the skin, and it produces a reaction at the point of contact. And then you have a what we call systemic reaction, which is a more generalized, it means that you have enough venom inside you that can trigger a lot of a more severe allergic reaction, where you may have difficulty breathing, you may have nausea, vomiting, fainting, changes in your blood pressure. That's more of a systemic reaction. I think if you can differentiate, you have done 50% of it already. Now, what do you do initially? Your child goes in the water, comes back complaining of pain. You're going to evaluate the area of contact. Usually the redness is in the area where the jellyfish that has those tentacles, and they have little hairs that what they do is when they brush against your skin, they inject venom inside your skin, right? So the point of contact, you're going to evaluate how big is it. If it's less than half of your arm or half of your leg, then it's manageable. And there is no other reactions, none of the systemic reactions I was telling you about. There is no difficulty breathing, there is no nausea, vomiting, child is talking, everything is fine. Then if it's such a small localized, it's probably a smaller fish, and you can just wash it, soak it actually in warm water. It has to be warm water, not very, very hot, burning hot, but just warm. And you leave it there for 30 minutes. If you have a pair of tweezers, you can start picking the little hairs. Sometimes you can see them. So it's good to just take them out, the little hairs where the venom went in. And then you can apply vinegar. You can also bring with you, and this is part of my, I'm going to tell you what to put in your bag when you go to the beach. So one thing is cortisone cream, hydrocortisone, the over-the-counter, or if you have a prescription one, maybe because you have eczema and you have a stronger cortisone cream, bring it with you because it's good for mosquito bites and for any kind of insect bites. And the medusa, the jellyfish also. So those are the things that you're going to do immediately. What do you think?
I think it's great. And I heard, Marta, sometimes, especially with the jellyfish, when it's biting on your face, especially when the kids like to doing like a submarine and fishing inside the water. I never had that issue with my kids, but I always heard many other moms to say, if it is on the face, go directly to the hospital. Is that right, no, Marta?
Yes, anything in the face, just because any injury in the face, because there's so much blood vessels going around, so much circulation in your face and so superficial, they're going to look worse. You just think if you fall down or you have any kind of wound in your face, it looks terrible. And so we worry about scarring, we worry about infection. If it's near the eye, especially. If you have a jellyfish that is touching you around the eye, you need to be seen. You need to be seen at the emergency room, and the emergency room will probably send you to an ophthalmologist if they don't have one that is ready to see you right there. But yes, be careful with contact with the face. There are certain things that for your little ones, Veronica, when you go to the beach, first of all, look at the information about the local beach. If they have information about what is in the water these days, sometimes it tell you exactly what kind of jellyfish, which is very helpful, because the majority of the ones we have here in Texas are not that small, not that big, like the moon jelly or the cabbage head jelly. They don't have as much venom, but sometimes you have other species that can be more dangerous. The local government has that information. When they go into the water, go splashing. You know, you want to go and start moving your feet back and forth as you walk in slowly, so all the little animals will go away from you. Away, away. You don't want them near you. So hopefully you
like
scare them away. Okay? Don't go just walking into the water and they are as surprised as you are. And that's when they get near you. So those are the and then, well, if you're going to go diving, or surfers know this very well, cover with the suit, you know, that covers your body, but that's a different top of activity. But for the kids, yes, or maybe you go ahead in the water and kind of start moving the water, so where they are gonna be. What else? What other questions do you have? I don't know if
Marta,
I missed any.
Marta, you mentioned there's two different reactions: the local one and the systemic one. It looks like the systemic one is kind of serious, or can get kind of serious. So how much time should we wait to make sure that this kind of reaction is not going to appear?
Yes, that's a good question. And sometimes you can already think, this is a person who could go through a systemic reaction, or even an anaphylactic. You know, the anaphylactic is the one that very severe, that you stop breathing. And this is the predisposed ones are the ones who already have a tendency to develop allergies. If you have somebody with asthma, we know that allergies trigger asthma. If you have somebody who already reacts to mosquito bites, to all kinds of little animals, then you are afraid that if they go in contact with a jellyfish, they may react badly. So those people are going to be a step ahead of your worry or your decision making when you think, okay, should I take them to the hospital, right? And there are also warning signs many times. The kid or the child complains that tingling or numbness around the lips or the tongue or a change in the voice, all of a sudden the voice changes before the difficulty breathing. And so any type of lethargy, changes in consciousness that are, it's not as alert. So those are, then you have time. You have time to call 911. That's what I will do. Just if it's a place or a beach where you can get help, just call the lifeguards and they will help you with that. Don't try to get in the car by yourself alone and drive in the traffic with the child in the back. I think that would be the most. So you do have time. If something bad is going to happen, I will say watch closely for a couple of hours. If you have your five-year-old, Alvaro gets contact with a jellyfish and he's this big, just a little bit, a little line, and he's perfectly fine, I will just submerge it, remove the little hairs, put some hydrocortisone or some vinegar, whatever I have available. Still watch him for a couple of hours, but I don't expect that to go anywhere. Now, you have somebody who all of a sudden is, you know, the whole arm is red and swollen, then I would be more concerned.
Do you think I need...
Let me tell you something that I forgot to tell you. That is also part of the beach bag, is having an antihistamine with you. So the in-between will be giving some Benadryl, some Claritin, some Zyrtec. I'm sorry to name brands, but people recognize them by these names. So just have it in your bag. Just have it there and give them a teaspoon. If it's a small child, 2 teaspoons if it's over age 5. And that will give you even more time because it's an antihistamine. So it's going to block a little bit that allergic reaction if it's going to happen in the whole body.
Okay. Thanks. So do you think we did wrong by letting them go in the water over and over again after the bites? Because I guess the amount of venom, the amount of the toxin is kind of cumulative. And as you get stung more and more, maybe you can trigger that systemic reaction. But like, I felt there was nothing I could do because I couldn't stop them from getting in the water. They were having so much fun. And I'm not sure now if I did right or if I should have told them like to stay away. I'm not sure.
Well, if the little contact place was small and they are fine and they are not high risk as far as asthma and all these other diseases, I would say the only solution would be to just pick them up and take them away. How are you going to have them in the beach and say, don't go in the water? That would be cruel.
it's kind of hard.
It's cruel for anyone, for anybody.
That's why we didn't even, I never thought of it, but now I'm thinking
now you're going to do things a little differently now that you know the fauna of this area. So you're going to contact the lifeguards and say, hey, what is in the water? Is it safe? Any jellyfish? And you're going to have all the things that I'm going to tell you to have ready. And then you're gonna go ahead of them and you're gonna splash the water so those little creatures will go away and nothing's gonna happen. See, that's the advantage of before and after. See,
I know, yeah. I feel like I was so unprepared for all this, but now I think next time we go to the beach, I'll have my kit with me and I will feel more, we will feel safe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's not only on the beach, it's just in summer here in Texas, there are more bites. Not only for the jellyfish on the beach, there are the mosquito bites, like the mosquitoes in Texas, is like everything is in Texas is big, even the mosquitoes. They are so big. I never saw as bigger as they are. And the other thing, at least in Austin, is the fire ants. I remember 3 years ago, I think, my husband walking the dogs and tried to pick it up something from the floor, and came home with the arm, I think was his arm, terrible, terrible, swollen and painful. And I was so scared because all his body started, so it was totally a reaction, as you say, systemic reaction. And I was so scared, so I just tried to start giving him some alcohol, but it's not working very well, and we need an antihistaminic. So I brought him to the ER, and they told me like it's an allergic reaction. So I know some people has a very hard reaction to the mosquitoes or the fire ants. So what do you have to say about it, Marta?
See, the same thing. So it involves venom from a little creature that comes and injects it to you. So the same thing with the bugs, the fire ants that we have here. Yes, so the same thing. Is it a local reaction or a systemic reaction? If the whole body is swelling, it means that it's a systemic reaction. The local ones, as I was telling you before, they can be very alarming. You can have a mosquito bite and have a very big swollen area right there looking very angry, but still a local reaction. Now, when you start having swelling of the body, swelling of the lips, tingling, any other whole body reaction, then you need to go to the ER, because then you may need steroids given to you, injectable steroids. You may even need breathing treatments. And so,
I remember the doctor talking about the tongue and even the heart. So especially in adults.
Very dangerous. You don't wait. If there is any symptoms around the mouth, around the tongue, the lips, anything that involves or even vomiting, start vomiting and control it. That will indicate a systemic reaction. And then you have to go to the ER. Yes.
Wow.
Yep. We have those here in Texas a lot. Yes, a lot of. The good news is that Veronica was telling me before that they also get her, you know, the mosquitoes and the fire ants and everybody. I remember when I moved to Texas, the same thing. I could not go into the backyard because the mosquitoes just came to me. And now with time, after so many bites, your body develops their own, it's kind of like your own treatment, your own immune therapy. By getting those bites regularly throughout the years, then you become immune to it. You have antibodies. I can feel them biting me when I am outside, but I don't get any reaction anymore. So,
lucky you.
Like it's crazy how many mosquitoes there's here. Like in Spain, I had never seen a mosquito actually biting me. And here you see them on your legs or on your skin. You can kill them. Like it's crazy. There's so many. So about mosquitoes, my daughter Violeta, she gets kind of a bad reaction to mosquitoes, and so do I. So we want to be like protected and covered and have an anti-mosquito on us, because otherwise it gets like awfully bad. And I want to know like about the different kinds of anti-mosquitoes that we could use. There's like the ones that contain more chemicals, the DEET ones. And then there's like more organic ones that are based on essential oils or things that are considered more natural. I want to know if there's a difference in the efficacy of ones and the others, which ones work, which ones don't work. And then also for the little ones, like let's say babies, should we put these kind of products on their skin or should we not?
Okay, so yes, that's also very, very common, the bites here. We are in contact with nature more than if you live in Madrid. You're lucky, you see a tree every once in a while. But over here, you have grass, you have trees, you have, sorry, ladies.
I know. Asturias has more than Madrid, I know that.
Asturias, you have mosquitoes too. So yes, protection comes in the form of clothing, nets that you can use with babies. Yes. Common sense, like avoiding you're not going to go to the walk by the river in the evening when it's hot with a baby, you know, just choose your place and the moment to go for a walk and use nets, just protection, just with clothing and nets. But in some circumstances, like if you go, I don't know, you're going to spend a week at a river house, well, then you bring your insecticide. And yes, the chemicals work better because they kind of repel and eliminate the mosquitoes. Unfortunately, they are also toxic. They are toxic to mosquitoes, they are toxic to us, but they are relatively safe. They can produce a local reaction if you keep applying it regularly every day on the skin that is sensitive, like in a child, you may end up with a rash there just because of what you're trying to avoid, which is skin reactions. And so what do? You use it, maybe you spray the clothes, you use clothing to protect the skin, you may spray it in only the exposed parts, if any. If you are carrying a stroller, just all over the stroller, just do the spray all over the stroller. And usually that works pretty well. And you are not maximizing, you're not just bathing the baby with all those chemicals on a daily basis. And among them, you know, the one is the permethrin. I don't know if you are familiar, you know, NYX, and again, a brand name, but you know, permethrin is an insecticide that is not as toxic as DET, and it works well. And you know, all these sports stores, like Academy, and they have, because hunters use it a lot. And so that alone can, you know, can be a good one to carry with you and to have with you.
Yeah, I have one of those for when I play tennis.
Exactly. See, yes. So it's with kids, I think is safe to use. Again, if you are not bathing the child on a daily basis on it, if you're just using it sporadically and in limited parts of the body, it should not give you any problems other than, well, the local reaction. If it's a child with a very, very sensitive skin, remember, even sunscreen irritates. And yeah. So that child can be, skin can be irritated with anything, including the insecticide that you are trying to spray.
I'm talking about the summer, Martha. I think another topic like this is very important is the hydration for the kids, especially the baby ones, because the toddlers usually they can feel the thirsty and asking for water, or I'm thirsty, or they want juices or soda, whatever. I think water is the best, and probably you agree with me. What about the babies? Because I remember with my kids all the time going to the beach with a bottle of water. Even if we have the bottle of milk or formula, always there is a little bottle of water for the babies. So what are your advice about the hydration, especially with these high temperatures in Texas, like 102, 103?
Yes. Well, here in Texas, it gets so hot that in midday, I think we all just, I don't think anybody can stay in the beach with a baby or without, even for us adults, it's very, very uncomfortable. The humidity is high. Is the best thing is if you have a baby, a child less than a year old, try to avoid that situation where you are stuck there and you have to stay there for a number of hours. Just try to avoid that situation. Go out in the early morning, in the evening, stay in the water, maybe a pool with a shade area where you can just put the baby or the child, or, you know, just try to avoid it altogether. But yes, if you are going on a special, I don't know, hiking one day and you're taking the child, the kids, water. Yes, you're right. Water is the best thing. And we have a thirst mechanism that is a great system that our body already built in. Is if you get, if your body gets dry inside, then it triggers those, there are some receptors that send messages to your brain. And then all of a sudden you feel the sensation of thirst and you look for water. So with kids, all you have to do really is have the water available. You don't need to be forcing them to drink a certain amount. Or some parents ask me, how much water do I give? How much? Well, there is not an amount. Everybody's different. And so it depends on the circumstances, the person, the size, the age, the how hot it is. I cannot tell you an amount. All I can tell you is have the water available. If it's fresh water, better. Once you get to the point of being already dehydrated, and I was telling you that we had a warning because right now we have here in Texas, if I can find it, oh my God, cyclospores, basically, is a parasite that lives in the water and fresh fruits and vegetables. And it can give you diarrhea. You usually find it in packed vegetables that you buy, you eat raw, salads.
Yeah, once they are already washed or something.
Yes, because washing it may not clean it, may not get rid of it completely. So I would say to just, when you wash your vegetables, maybe dip them in a water with a little bit of vinegar for a while, so that may clean it better when it comes to the parasites. But apparently they had several cases in this area of this parasite. So if you're already dehydrated, you already had diarrhea for a few days, you are vomiting, then you need to drink more like an oral rehydration solution. And there is one that you can buy at the store. There's commercially available, like Pedialyte, many brands. They make them in little packages that you can bring with you when you go out with the kids. You mix it with water. Don't mix it with milk or juice or anything. No, it has to be mixed with water because the composition changes tremendously, of course, as you can imagine, if you mix it with anything but water. And you can make it at home. If you don't have anything available, everybody has salt at home and sugar. So 1 liter of water, half a teaspoon of salt, 2 teaspoons of sugar. And that is your oral rehydration in an emergency solution. And then you drink it as needed and the amount that you need regularly. Small sips here and there goes a long way. That's all you need.
Wow, that's great. So I'll bring today a recipe that is not require a lot of time in the kitchen, because I think with this heat, no one want really to stay in the kitchen for a long hours preparing very fancy food. So it's a very easy recipe. There is nuggets, chicken nuggets. I know many people like to buy it, but I always said it's worthy to have the ingredients by your own and under control. No any extra artificial flours or conservants or conservatives or something. So the ingredients are like 1 pound of chicken breast in pieces, or if you prefer that, you can buy the ground chicken and it's perfect. 1/2 pound of cream cheese. You can use mascarpone, Philadelphia, portion cheeses, just cream cheese. Pepper, salt, 2 eggs to bread in the nuggets, breadcrumbs, 2 tablespoons from the mix, and the rest to bread the nuggets, and olive oil if you decide to fry them, or you can bake at the oven if you like healthy or you don't want to splash your stuff. Totally understandable. So the instructions are ground the chicken in your blender with the pepper and salt. If you have the chicken in pieces, breast pieces, or cut your breast chicken in pieces, put in your blender and with salt and pepper and make like a ground chicken. Then add the cream cheese and the 2 tablespoons of breadcrumbs. So just mix all well. And with this mix, start making balls like a meatballs, but once you have your ball, just press them to make flat and like a 2 inches high, and yes, press them. And I like to put in a oven tray with parchment paper, so I like to place them when I just breathe and through the eggs, beating the eggs, and every medallion or nugget has to breathe in on the eggs, and after that in the breadcrumbs, and put in the oven tray with the parchment paper, and cover it with film when you just finish. I like to do one big batch because it's something you have to have in your freezer for 3 months, and it's very last minute resource, you know, like I don't know what to do tomorrow, or I don't feel good, or I'm just tired. And you can look at your freezer, you made your own and they are good. So in the put in the freezer and when they're freezing, you can put on a Ziploc in a bag with a Ziploc and use it when you need it. So if you're gonna bake in the oven, just place in the oven tray again with some drizzle, some olive oil on the top, 360 Fahrenheit in the oven, 10 minutes, and flip up, flip over, and another 10 minutes and until you can see the color is a little toasted, you know? If you are gonna fry in olive oil, when your olive oil is heat, just place, not too much at the same time. Yeah, like a 3, depends on how big is your fry pan. It's just 3-4 at the same time, because if they are frozen, you have to reduce the temperature from the oil when you are gonna fry. So careful with that. It's not about a lot on the olive oil, and fry quickly because they can broken or it's gonna be a mess. So patient and slowly. And yes, you can bake or fry in the morning and bring to the beach or to the swimming pool. They love to eat with their hands, using any sauce, and that's all. So I think it's very simple. It's probably taking 10 minutes of your time to prepare. Even the toddlers can help you to breathe in the nuggets. They probably love it, and they are very tasty. And you, of course, can add, if your kids are older and they like it, you can add a little minced garlic on the chicken ground or parsley, and it tastes even better. But just if you like it, this is the basic recipe, and I hope everyone like it, especially the kids. So that's all. Good. Yes, that's good. And yes, I don't want to finish this chapter with your advice about the kit for the beach, Marta. I think you have a very clear idea what every mom or every parent has to bring to the beach in their bags. So tell us. Sure.
Yes, and first I'm gonna tell Veronica what she's gonna do next time when she goes to the beach. What she's gonna do is she's
yes, please.
Yes, so that will encourage you to go, and now you're going to feel like going next week, okay? After listening, we'll see. So you're going to get information from the local place that you're going, what is in the water. Tell the kids not to touch, I forgot to tell you before, not to touch a jellyfish when they are out of the, like in the sand, because they can still have venom there. So leave them alone. When you enter the water, you're going to enter slowly and doing a lot of splashing and a lot of moving your feet. So all these little creatures around you will go away. Maybe go ahead of the kids and do that. You know, the adults can do that. And then because the kids have only a limited amount of place where they play. So, and avoid, of course, if you see them floating, they look like plastic bags floating around, bluish, then, or pinkish, some of them. And so try to avoid that, of course. But other than that, I would like to tell you what to put in, what to have ready or to have actually inside your bag when you go. You're going to bring sunscreen. We always talk about sunscreen. We didn't mention it. Very important, but you need it. You're going to bring some vinegar because we say that with the jellyfish, it's good to have that available. You are going to bring some tweezers to remove the little hairs if it happens. Any hydrocortisone cortate, any hydrocortisone cream that you have, bring it with you. You're gonna bring an antihistamine type Benadryl, Zyrtec, Claritin, an antihistamine. If you are traveling with kids or adults with asthma, don't forget their medication. Make sure that the medications are not expired. You may need their bronchodilator. You may need to bring the machine, the nebulizer, maybe not to the beach itself, but have it ready at a hotel or wherever you're staying, just in case. Sometimes changes in weather trigger these kind of things and you have a flare up. You're gonna bring the little packages of the rehydration solution we were talking about. And if your child has a history of severe reactions, you probably have what we call an EpiPen, which is an epinephrine auto-injector at home. So again, they expire very quickly. Make sure that it's not expired. Make sure that you have a couple of them, maybe one in the hotel, one with you, and always have it handy. And so that's what it is. And the towel. Just bring a towel. Just in case you need it. That's it.
That's awesome, Marta. Actually, we're planning our next trip to the mountains. So I feel like this is a pretty basic kit that it's also useful to take with you if you go to other environments.
Yes. So when you go to the mountains, you'll add the permethrin spray that I was telling you, because you know you have all kinds of insects and parasites and things that can bite you there too. So just add the spray and just spray it over you go hiking, over your pants and your shoes, and that should do it.
Okay.
Wow. Awesome. It will be great, Veronica. So much fun to the mountains with the kids. There are great memories for the future.
Yeah, we are going soon, and we are pretty excited because actually in previous years, we always use our days off to travel to Spain and see family, because family is always on top of the list. And we feel like this whole pandemic, it has been also a good opportunity to stay in the States and try to travel locally. Yes. Always keeping distance and being very responsible, but we are just like taking things as they come, and we're taking a little break, and we're enjoying the mountains, and I think the kids are gonna love it. So yeah, we're very excited.
Wow, sounds great. Sounds like a plan. Really great plan. Okay, ladies, so thank you so much. Thank you to all who listen our podcast and are giving their likes to our channel. We really appreciate, help us to spread in the word. And if you have any question, any topic do you want us to talk about, or any questions to our pediatrician, Dr. Marta Catalinas, we would love to help you. And thank you one more week, and enjoy your trip, Veronica. And see you next week.
See you next week. Bye.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.